And let's hear from God's word.
Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back to the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live up to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. This is the word of the Lord.
We're on the last Sunday of a series that I've called Being Church. If you've missed any of the sermons in this series, they are available online. It's been a while since I preached the last one, with 2 weeks ago being the church weekend and being away last Sunday. I put originally as the title for this sermon that it would be about commitment. And I was thinking of verses from that reading about not tiring of doing good, and about every time you get the opportunity to do good, it says for all people, and especially to those who belong to the family of faith or to the household of faith. We are being called in these verses not to become weary in doing the right thing, because God will always bless doing the right thing. In the end, we will reap what we sow. If this is a church that sows goodness and love, we will reap goodness and love. If we sow other things, then that is what we will reap. So I thought that maybe this morning it would be good to remind us about the need to be committed to that thing. But as I was preparing for this morning, there was one thought that just got inside my mind, and that has become really the main thought of what I want to say. So yes, commitment, but commitment in one specific area of what it means to be church together. It says at the start of the reading that it says in my translation here, if anyone is caught in a sin, or if anybody is going wrong, it says that those who live by the Spirit should restore that person, but we should make sure that we do it gently. And this is the word that's been going around in my head all week, this word gentle or gentleness. So the text is saying to us that we are to live by the Spirit, we are to ask God to be filling us with the Holy Spirit, we have to be trying to live as the Holy Spirit leads us to live. And when something goes wrong for someone, we are to try and help them, but we are to do it gently. And as I was thinking that, all sorts of scriptures started coming into my mind, because gentleness is a key project for us as Christians if we want to be like Jesus. Gentleness is a key quality of what Jesus is and was like. And therefore, to be Christ-like means that we are to learn the ways of gentleness as well. So can we put the first text up, please? This is just a few verses before the ones that we read. The fruit of the Spirit is, there are 9 things that Paul lists, but let's just look at the last 2. Gentleness and self-control. Gentleness and self-control go together. The person who has no self-control is never going to be able to be gentle. So when it says in chapter 6, verse 1 that we read, you who live by the Spirit, restore the person. You who live by the Spirit, try and help that person. Paul is saying that those who live by the Spirit are those who are allowing the Holy Spirit to get to work on them. And that one of the key qualities that these people will show is gentleness. So as we seek to be God's people together, especially in a world where so many are hurt, one of the things that Paul says later on in that reading is about recognizing that other people are carrying heavy loads. That's why I've mentioned that once or twice already in the service this morning. Many of us come here this morning with a heavy load on our shoulders. Some of us are not able to be here this morning because of the heavy loads that they are carrying. And when people are carrying heavy loads, if we want to help people, and we should want to help people, but if we want to help people, we've got to be incredibly careful about how we do it. Because if we touch the wrong thing, if we say the wrong thing, uh-oh. I think it does need a new battery. Oh, there you go. If we say the wrong thing, if we do the wrong thing, instead of helping people, we end up hurting them. I've told this story before, but I mean, to me, it's one of these moments that had a big impact on my life. I was actually at Spring Harvest in the Big Top. It was an all-age service event. And we were doing that song that many of you love so much, maybe not, about the high five song, you know, where you give high fives. And the person standing behind me was a friend of mine. I went to give her a high five. And the moment I made contact on the high five, she just, ow! Just about screamed. I said, I'm so sorry. Did I hurt you? And she said, well, not really. But it's just I've got this injury here. And you touched it. And being gentle is about recognizing that we all have the places where we hurt. We all have the places where things are really difficult for us. And if we want to help each other, we need to understand how to be gentle with each other. Let's have the next text. The wisdom that comes from heaven. That sounds good, doesn't it? I like the idea of having wisdom from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peaceful, loving, gentle. If we are not gentle, we can't claim to be wise. We might be clever in our brain. We might be very good at doing things. But it's gentleness is one of the key things that shows that God is really at work within us. And the next one, please. Remind the people to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always, not words like always when they appear in Scripture, always to be gentle toward everyone. So this is being said pretty strongly here. Always and everyone. That the church that reflects Jesus is going to have a commitment to gentleness, not just amongst ourselves, although that is incredibly important. We live in a world that is not gentle. We live in a world where people are having to appeal not to be violent, but to the whole world, to be as gentle as we are able to be. The next one, please. Be completely humble and gentle. Again, do you know that word, completely? Not just be a bit gentle. Gentleness is to be the whole of our character. And be patient. Well, gentleness and patience certainly go together. Bearing with one another in love, or as I like to translate it, putting up with one another in love. As gentle people, we learn what it means to put up with other people. There will be people in this church that you have to put up with, but you can be gentle with them. The next one, please. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So you've got this idea here that's like gentleness is something you're chasing after. That in all of what we're doing, we're saying, right, how can I be gentle here? How can I be more gentle than I otherwise would be? The next one, please. Oh, opponents must be gently instructed. Let me put that a bit more bluntly. When you disagree with people, you must be gentle with them. Once we stop being gentle, we stop being Christ-like. And in the reading that we had this morning, it talks about restoring people gently. And my translation here says, watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So what I imagine here is, here's somebody, and somebody else has done something wrong. So, well, I'll play this part. So somebody else has done something wrong, and I say, right, I want to correct that person. I want to help them to do things right. The problem is that the moment I stop being gentle, then I've stopped behaving in a right way, and I'm in no position to put somebody else right. Jesus said something, didn't he, about what we're like when we say to somebody, well, there's a speck of dust in your eye, let me take it out, when actually there's a plank that's within our own. And the next one, please. There's so many of these. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. You know, there are many people, and they're saying, right, preach the gospel, proclaim Jesus. Yes, we must do that. But here are the two key words for how we present the gospel to other people. Number one, respect. If we're not treating people with respect, we're not treating them like Jesus would. And gentleness. And the next one, please. Here's Jesus. I am gentle, he says, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. That's what he says to us today. We can come to him no matter who we are, no matter what load we're carrying today, and we know that he will treat us gently. Now, it says in Galatians 6 that we read that we are to try and help people. We've to do it gently. Watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Actually, I think that wanting to sort somebody else out is a very dangerous position to be in spiritually. I think it's a point at which there are lots of temptations to behave in ways that are not Christ-like. Can we have the next page, please? Okay. I want to talk for the next few minutes about some warning signs. Some signs that we are in danger of acting in a non-Christ-like way. Now, just to be clear, a warning sign is a sign that says to us, be careful. I'm not saying that if we say these things, we are necessarily sinning. But I am saying that if we say them, we are in danger of sinning. Here's the first one. Next, you need to click again. Yeah, okay, yeah. I am angry. Okay? It is possible to be angry and not to sin. It is possible. It is also incredibly rare. When we are angry, we are often very, very close to doing something that Jesus does not want us to do. When we get angry, gentleness flies out of the window. So in our Bible reading, the point is don't act for other people out of anger, act out of gentleness. And the next one, I am upset. Okay, don't know if you've said that recently. Here's a gentle warning. When you say, I am upset, be careful. Because when we're upset, we don't want to be gentle with other people. The next one, I am offended. When we feel offended, we often forget to be gentle. The next one, you've hurt my feelings. We feel sometimes that we have a right to react in anger because our feelings have been hurt. The next one, I've done nothing wrong. By the way, that statement is almost always untrue. It's very rare that we've done nothing wrong. But when we feel we're on the end of some sort of hurt, we do tend to say it. And then the next one, I'm better than he or she is. When we start to say, you know, I can justify my behavior, but they can't justify theirs. And the last one, I've called it mind reading. I'm not saying any of us here is actually into mind reading, but when we actually think that we know what somebody is thinking without testing it out, we don't really know what's going on in our mind, but we make a guess at it. When we come out with phrases like, well, what he must be thinking is, that's dangerous because we often get that wrong. So this list of danger signs, if we find ourselves saying these things, then maybe we need to get a bit of help. Maybe we need to say, okay, calm down a little bit to ourselves. I saw a website recently, and its title was, Why Are Christians Mean to Each Other Online? If you're like me, you follow like Christian Facebook pages, you will realize that gentleness is not the prime thing that you see, unfortunately, on these discussion pages. This website said there were three things. The first bit of advice that it said, and this doesn't just affect sort of postings on Facebook, it's everything really, but perhaps especially on Facebook and things like that. The first thing is, before we react, let's just pause and think a bit. Read that posting before you put it online. Listen to yourself saying something before you say it to other people. And they actually quote Proverbs 17 here. Even a fool is thought wise if he remains silent. The second thing is to remember that what you write and post online is open to scrutiny by everybody. Actually, what we say to other people is open to scrutiny as well. Yeah. Sometimes we say things like, please keep this confidential. Well, yeah, sometimes it's right to say keep it confidential. And there certainly isn't any excuse for us to gossip about what other people have said. But before we say anything, just to put that check into our brain that says, well, how would I feel if this was known by everyone? And to ask this question, the third bit of advice, what does the fruit of the Spirit look like? Am I really acting in a way that makes it look as if God's Spirit is active within me? I came across another website that gave some advice. Can we put these ones up, please? So we'll put them up one at a time. First bit of advice, think before you act. If you are quick to anger, you may do something in the heat of the moment that you regret later on. Think through the consequences of what you're about to do. The second thing, do all you can not to hurt people, especially when we're angry with them, especially when we think that they need to be put right. People are fragile. People are carrying these heavy loads. And the third one, try to understand. Try to understand how other people are thinking and feeling. This can be a hard thing to do. And sometimes we have to be open about how we are feeling and thinking so that other people will understand. Sometimes we need to say to people, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. Please will you explain it to me? But the truth is that sometimes if we knew the half of what was going on in somebody else's life, we would be far more sympathetic to them than we might otherwise be. And then the fourth one, accept what you can't change. So there are some things that we just need to let go of because we can't do anything about them. And then finally, de-stress. Take time out. Stress is an enemy of gentleness. And sometimes we do just need to retreat for a while so that we've got some time to think and to recover. It says in Galatians chapter 6 that God cannot be mocked. We reap what we sow. And whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. If we sow gentleness into the church, into the world, into our families, we will reap gentleness. The Holy Spirit will take what we offer and make it into something wonderful. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will receive eternal life. Do you know Jesus died for you? He rose for you. He's given you eternal life because you believe in Jesus. If you haven't received that, please ask him for it. But he's given you that eternal life. But he now says, I want you to live that eternal life. You know, I was born because my mum and dad did something. We don't need to go into details of that today. And 9 months later, I arrived and I was born and there was great celebration. But there's far more to my life than that. I have to live the life that my parents gave to me. I want to live in the fullness of the wonderful gift that I got. And I am alive in God because Jesus rose again from the dead and because I believe in him and because he has placed his Holy Spirit within me. And I want to live that life that he has for me. I want to live it to the full. And one of the key things in terms of living it to the full is a commitment to being gentle. From the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. I was at a seminar at the Baptist Assembly, and I've just printed out here notes from one of the seminars. Let me read you. It talks about people being wounded. People need a safe environment where they can show their wounds and hurts. Take it slow. Wait for them to ask. You don't know the half of the abuse. Prioritize relationship over rules. Avoid all gossip, judgment, and criticism, as they will make them hide their wounds. Don't just be friendly, be friends. Then they will feel safe to show their wounds. May Mills Hill Baptist Church be a church where people feel safe to show their wounds, and a place where everybody knows that here you will be treated gently. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you for your gentleness towards us. We praise you that you do not treat us as we deserve, but you are kind to us. You are patient with us. You never stop loving us. Father, we praise you that in your love you have called us to be your children. You have called us to know your fatherly care. And Lord, you have taught us that no matter what we do, we can always come to you and know that you will embrace us. Father, today help us to sow to please the Spirit, to be gentle as Jesus is gentle. And Father, now as we sing, as we pray, Father, we come to you believing that you will be gentle with us, that you know how to come alongside us, that you know how to deal with us, and you understand the loads that we're carrying, and you put your arms around us, and you embrace us. And yes, there are things you need to speak to us about, but you do it gently. So Lord, let the gentleness of Jesus be really clear in the last part of our service and in the rest of today. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.